One quick question. Are you? Are you truly happy today because God has taken away your sins? Are you truly living in a way that is pleasing in the sight of God? You know, we sing these songs and I don't think we think about them as much as we should and really apply them to our lives. And that's the purpose of them, to help teach and admonish us. And if we see that in our life we're not as happy as we should be, perhaps there's something that needs to be corrected so that we can be a happier individual as a child of God. I forgot to mention this before. I received it after I'd already finished the bulletin. As I've said before, you know, having moved a lot, I've got family all over the U.S., specifically the eastern side of the Mississippi River. I've got aunts and uncles in a number of congregations, and I received word last night that a man who I've always looked at as family, Joe Gray, was put into the hospital. He was put into the ICU unit, and the word I received last night, and this was about midnight last night, that they didn't expect him to make it through the night. So if you would, keep the Gray family in your prayers. He's been very close with our family since I was in the second grade. So I've known and appreciated this family for a long time. And so if you could, keep them in your prayers as well. I can understand a little bit what his grandsons and everything are going through. And I know it's going to be difficult for them. This morning I want to talk about, as you can see, the title of the lesson is, Why Does a Faithful Child of God Attend Every Service They Can? We oftentimes look at this from a negative. We look at the wrongs that they commit, the sin, things of that nature, and the attitude that is often there when they fail to attend the services. But this morning I want to look at, and on into this evening, I want to look at, we could really call this the blessings for faithful attendance. There's wonderful thing in attending. Number one, you get reminded that you're to be happy, and the reasons why you're happy. You get to be with other Christians. It should be a wonderful thing. We should be like David, as he wrote, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And we should look forward to even more opportunities. We should try to take advantage of every opportunity that we have. As Brother Ed mentioned, you know, there are gospel meetings in the area, and we have an opportunity to enjoy even more opportunities to spend time in singing songs of praise, to spend time in worship to God. And as we were talking Friday night, as we were going down, you know, he and I were both confessing that we just really don't make it to as many meetings as we used to, and we really should be doing better. And he and I were discussing, you know, well, maybe one of the reasons we have so few visitors from other congregations is because we visit other congregations so few. I just think that the number of times that I go, there's very seldom any others from this congregation that have gone, or they go and I haven't gone, and maybe we need to rethink these things. I remember growing up, you know, we would travel an hour or more, and I always looked forward to it as a child because that was, as I mentioned some others, that was when Dad would stop at the store and buy us, that's the only time I got a Coke and a bottle, or Sunkist, something like that. That was a special treat because it was Kool-Aid and water at home, or tea. So I look forward to these opportunities, and we need to make sure that we're creating that same opportunity for our children or our grandchildren, and that we're helping them. Because as a child of God, we should be looking for as many opportunities as we can find to be with God, to be with His saints. And so we want to look at these things this morning, look at some things that we could look at that are blessings or things that are a result of us attending the services as faithfully and as often as we can. The first one we want to look at is the fact that commands are fulfilled when we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. When we attend the worship services, we see that we fulfill the command of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, there in verse 25, we read, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We see this as something that we're told this is something we need to be doing. We don't need to be forsaking. This is a command for us to come together, to worship together. And one thing that we need to think about, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He gave his authority to the apostles to bind things upon earth that would be bound in heaven, to loose things on earth that would be loosed in heaven. And if his apostles set forth the command for us to come together and to worship, to not forsake our assembly, then we're keeping the commands of God. It's interesting here, we see this as a negative command. It says, not forsaking our own assembling. Now when we look at that, that word assembling, it's not forsaking the assembly as in one, but it's not forsaking the assembling, it refers to the act of assembling, that is, as often as it takes place, we should not forsake it. Whether it's on one time on Sunday and twice throughout the week, or twice on Sunday and once throughout the week, or a gospel meeting, or a special Bible study, we have a responsibility and we have an opportunity to heed the command of God. Now, how many of us want to go through life doing all that we can not to heed the command of God? Now, oftentimes when we look at our lives, we might see that that's exactly the way that we are. We seem to go through life trying to find ways around the commands of God. But to me, it's a wonderful blessing to be able to fulfill this command, and it's one of the easiest commands. And as we're going to see in this lesson, many great blessings can come from it. I believe that this is not really an optional matter when it comes to the time that we have to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a command that we need to be fulfilling. We see that in doing these things, in coming together, not only are we fulfilling this command, but we're also worshiping God in a manner that He seeks. In Matthew chapter 4, there in verse 10, Jesus says, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." When we find other things to do instead of attending on Sunday night or Wednesday night, or when we've put other things as of greater importance and come into a gospel meeting, specifically the local church, their gospel meeting, are we truly worshiping God? Are we not lifting those things up to a higher plane than we've had, than we've got God in our own life? And we need to seriously think about these things when we look at, well, I can't attend the gospel meeting because I've got this or that going on, or this is taking place on a Wednesday night and I kind of want to take part in this, and therefore I can't come together and worship with the saints. We're putting other things before God, and we need to be giving God the worship that He seeks. Remember that we read there in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, Jesus said, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." And so when you're choosing to forsake the assembly, when you're choosing not to be present with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're choosing not to be in the presence of Jesus. You're not only forsaking your brethren, but you're also forsaking your Lord. And we need to be careful in these things. And so we can see that one reason why the faithful Christian attends every service that they can, it is for the sole reason that they are fulfilling the commands of God. Now we can also see that the faithful child of God attends every service that they can so that he can grow and develop spiritually. Now you can grow and develop at home, as many will try to say, well, I can study the Bible at home and I can grow and I can develop. Well, you know, that's just not true, is it? Now you can gain an understanding of the Word of God, but if you're a man and a member of the local congregation, you have been given talents and you have a responsibility to use those talents. Are you really going to be able to exercise your talent for reading Scripture before an audience if you're only reading it at home? Are you really going to be able to exercise your talent in leading singing if you lead yourself at home? There's a big difference between leading singing in the mirror looking at yourself and leading singing with 50 other individuals trying to get them to follow along. If you've got the ability to teach, you've got a responsibility to use that. As we look over in Hebrews chapter 5, there in verse 12, the author of Hebrews says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil." You know, you can study the Word of God and you can look at it and you can come to an understanding. But one of the things I have learned through the many years that I've attended the Bible classes is I can be wrong. I can look at something and I can think this is exactly what that passage of Scripture is talking about. And then I sit down in the Bible class and the teacher begins talking about that passage of Scripture and he begins to explain it and little lights start turning on in my head and I start to realize, oh, yeah, that's what that verse is talking about. You see, we can't really mature, we can't really grow as individuals without sharpening against one another, without, as we see in the Scripture, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another in their understanding of the Word of God. And so as we come together as Christians, we have an opportunity to grow and to develop spiritually. Hearing all of the sermons, attending all of the Bible classes will help you as a child of God. Now, how many of us truly want to just not grow as a child of God? How many of us are just thoroughly content with where we are and want to remain? Well, if you're in that category, we've got a whole other lesson that we need to preach. Because we can see quite clearly in the Scriptures, if you're not abounding in the work of the Lord, then your labor is in vain. And so we need to make sure that we're doing what we can to grow. Not only do we learn from the sermons and from the Bible classes, but as we can see in Colossians chapter 3, there in verse 16, where it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." How many of you are just as happy in your life as you'd like to be? Everything in your life is just going exactly the way that you want it to go. There's no problems in your life, right? The bills are all paid. The house is in A1 condition. All the cars are running fine. Your kids listen to every word you say. Everything's perfect. Anybody living that life? No. And so I had a great appreciation of Brother Harold this morning when he chose "I'm Happy Today" to sing. Because I need to be reminded that I've got great reason in my life. No matter how horrible my life might be going, I have great reason to be happy. Because Jesus Christ is my Savior. Because I have salvation. And so we have an opportunity to be taught, to be reminded of things that we cannot really get all on our own. We don't exactly look at ourselves in the best way. We look at our own lives through rose-colored glasses. We smooth things over and we think, well, I'm not as bad as some might think. And it helps to have others watching and encouraging. And so we are encouraged in these things. And we can also find that we are comforted and encouraged by having spiritual fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Romans chapter 1, there in verse 12, it says, "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine." Paul is saying, I want to come and see you. I'm longing to see you. I'm longing to be with you, to spend time with you. First and foremost, that I can be encouraged and you can be encouraged by my faith. Once again, when you walk through life all alone, it can become discouraging. And one of the greatest things, one of the greatest opportunities we have as brothers and sisters in Christ is to come together and to spend time in singing songs of praise, to pray to God, to encourage one another, to help one another, to help strengthen one another. And yet we try to limit that to as little time as possible, don't we? We'll come together on Sunday morning. We'll try and come together on Sunday night, and we might make it on Wednesday night, but don't add anything else. You know, when you read the New Testament Scriptures, it doesn't take very long to see why the church is in the condition that it's in today. When you read in the New Testament, you read that they were spending time with one another on a daily basis. But you have those individuals in a local congregation, they try to encourage the congregation to get together. They try and they try and they try. And they just see failure after failure after failure. And often the ones who refuse to take part in any activities, they're the ones that oftentimes complain the most. Well, that group's just not very close. They don't show any love or compassion for me. Take advantage of the time to come together. Attend the services as faithfully as you can, as often as you can. And truly take part in the worship services, encouraging one another, helping one another to grow. We can see further there in chapter 15 and verse 32. Paul says, "So that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company." It's a wonderful thing to be able to come together at the end of a hard week. To have gone through all the difficulties that we face throughout the week and to be able to come together with brothers and sisters in Christ and to be refreshed. That's the way that it should be. And why not take advantage of every time that we have to come together? Yes, it takes a little bit extra time. It takes a little bit extra effort. But if you put forth that effort, you will see great blessings that will come from it. Another reason why the faithful child of God attends every service is so that the church can function properly. I'm sure you've seen the signs that says CH, and then underneath it says what's missing, and then it has the letters UR. You know, this church is not working to its full potential if you're not here. The singing is not as fully serving the Lord. We're not fully admonishing one another if we're not all present. We need to think about these things as we go through our lives. The mission of the church is accomplished through the collective work of the local congregation. There are things that we do as a collective that we cannot do on our own. And it takes the effective working of every single part for the church to be able to function properly. When it comes to taking collections to finance the work of the church, if you're not present, if you don't give, you hamper the work of the local church. If you don't give as you have prospered because you choose not to be present, then you're keeping the church from being able to accomplish more work than it's doing. When it comes to taking care of various responsibilities, continuing to put it on the same individual over and over and over and over and over again, wears them out, and they lose the zeal that they had in the work that they're doing. But when it comes to recording the sermons or making sure that everything's ready, announcements for the meeting and things of that nature are ready, you get very few that will help. Or you worry about letting someone else take it over because you're not sure if they're going to be present, and therefore you're going to end up doing it anyway. How many times have we had to, with the song leading or the scripture reading or the leading in prayer, or in a Bible class, have to last minute go in and swap things out because someone's not present? And you can't, I don't care who you are, you can't go in and effectively teach a Bible class last minute that you've not even had a chance to sit down and look at the lesson. You see, by your failing to attend, you hamper the work of the local church. Perhaps you're just a student in one of those classes. Take a moment to look around. We don't exactly have a wealth of young people, do we? Most of our classes only have 2 or 3 individuals in them. Some, just 1. If you don't bring your kids, oftentimes those classes go amiss. They fall by the wayside. And so we can see that by attending regularly, then we can make sure that the church is functioning properly. We can also, by attending regularly, we can make sure and check any errors that might be occurring. You know, you have no right to sit and say, well, I don't agree with this. If you weren't there when the vote took place or when the false doctrine was taught, if you allow these things to happen because you choose not to be present, you see, our attendance is very important so that the local church can function properly. Another reason why the faithful child of God attends every service that they can is for a good example and influence. You might not have seen them, but your neighbors noticed when you left today. Your neighbors know, or they should know, that you're a member of the Lord's church. They know that you're a Christian. They know that you think it's important to attend the worship services, and they watch. They watch everything you do. And they watch and they take note when you stay at home on Sunday evening. They watch and they take note when you're not dressed for services. When you're dressed for a ball game or for something else. When you're out on Wednesday and they know you're not going to Bible study. They know. The child of God is to be concerned with the influence that they have. And we are to strive to have a good example to those that are around us. The Apostle Paul told Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Now you stop for just a moment, and you think of your attendance over the past year. Each of you, don't think about somebody else. That's the tendency we have. Well, we start thinking about, no, you think about your attendance. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night over the past year. Can you honestly say that your attendance is an example of those who believe in God? Can you honestly say that the number of times that you attended, your faithfulness in the service to attend the worship services is an example of a child of God? We have to think about these things because the world's watching. We sing the song from time to time, the world's Bible. We are the world's Bible, the one that they'll read. But I wonder sometimes what message they're receiving just solely in the way that we attend the worship services. In Titus chapter 2, we find once again the Apostle Paul encouraging another young man there beginning in verse 7. He says, "In all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." Once again, showing yourself an example of good deeds. Is your attendance something that is truly an example to those that are around you? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, there in verse 14, that we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Once again, you think about your attendance over the past year. And you ask yourself, what kind of a light are you to those that are around you? Just in your attendance alone, is it a light that is bright, that is shining, that people can see and can know and go, wow, he's a faithful child of God. He is always there. He doesn't let anything get in his way of serving the Lord and coming together and studying from His Word and singing songs of praise. Or do they look at you and go, I go to church as much as they do. We are to be a light. I'm afraid many of us tend to be the one that hide it under a basket. Our example, even if the light is lit, it's not very bright. The Apostle Paul told the church there in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, "So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." You know, as a child of God, we're to be different, aren't we? As a child of God, people are to look at us and go, well, they're not like everybody else. We're to be odd. We're to be peculiar. And yet people in the world, people in the denominational world, put us to shame in their willingness to attend. In the zeal and the fervor that they have for the time to come together and worship God. And many in the church are going, well, yeah, but they get to watch concerts and they get to watch movies and they get to have all this fun. Of course, it's more interesting for them to go. Oh, but we get to worship God. Tell me that's not better than any movie, any concert? We need to think about how we reason certain things. We're to be different. The world should look at us and go, that is someone who's on fire for the Lord. That's someone, I tell you, that individual, my neighbor, he just never misses a service. And it doesn't matter how she's feeling, she's there. I've seen her just going to get in the car and she looked like she was just having the hardest time in the world just getting in there. And yet she went to church. We are to be a light to the world. We are to be a good example to those that are around us. Faithful attendance is essential for good influence. You can be a straight shooter on so many other things. You can be one who always tells the truth, one who watches their tongue, one who doesn't fall prey to the various things of this world and the sins and concerns of this world. But if you're one who only attends every once in a while, you have no example. You are not a good influence towards those around you. You see, we need to not only be an example toward those that are in the world, but we have a responsibility to be an example towards those that are babes in Christ in the local church. And let me ask you, what kind of example does it set for these new Christians that we have when they see that you don't think it's that important to be present? When you allow just a number of things, football games, baseball games, television shows, plays, when you allow these things to take precedence over your service to God. The Lord said that obstacles are going to happen. But He said, you be wary that you're not the reason for that obstacle. That you are not the stumbling block. People are going to fail in their service to God. And He said, you make sure that you're not the reason that they're failing. And we might need to look into our time that we come together, how often we worship God. And when we're losing our younger Christians, we might need to ask, well, what kind of an example have I set? Have I shown encouragement to them in forsaking the assembly by my own lack of attendance? Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. We need to make sure that we're doing all that we can to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to take advantage of the opportunities we have to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be setting a good example towards those that are around us. The final reason we want to look at this morning that the faithful child of God attends every worship service is because it's a way for him to hold fast his allegiance, his profession, and his hope. When we think about this, when the faithful Christian attends every service, he is continuing to affirm that which he stated when he obeyed the gospel. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is continuing to carry out the profession that he made. I give my life in humble devotion to you, God. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives within me. How many worship services do you reckon Jesus would miss? And you just think about that for just a moment. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus lives within me. It's no longer my will, but His will. And you think about that the next time you think, it's a long drive. The roads are a little wet. I don't think I'm going to make it tonight. Folks, I think we need to seriously think about the way that we attend. But we oftentimes we'll begin to rebuke someone and go, well, you know, you're not faithful in your attendance and everything. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But I'm afraid that we, even those who attend regularly, don't really show the right example in how wonderful it is to serve the Lord. How enjoyable it is to come together to sing songs of praise. And I'm afraid that even when we attend, we don't really profess our faith in Jesus Christ because we're attending under duress. We're attending because we have to. We're attending because it's expected of us. You remember the Lord there at the end of the nation of Judea when they had returned back from captivity and they were supposedly returning in their service to Him. He said, I'm tired of your bulls and your goats and all your offerings. I'm tired of all your feast days because your heart's not behind it. And I would imagine that we could bring that into the modern realm and say, God is at times getting tired of us coming together Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We're attending faithfully, but we're still not doing these things. And so if you're one of those who attends regularly, maybe you need to think a little bit more about your own worship and not focus so much on someone else's. But if you're one who doesn't even attend, then you can be assured you're not professing your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Those are the hard, cold facts. When you choose to let something else take precedence over your service to God, you are not professing your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You're not professing, you're not holding fast the allegiance that you proclaimed to God, that you proclaimed to Christ when you were buried in the watery grave and arose a child of God. You became a part of His kingdom. How does the United States government look at those who
don't file their taxes? I don't like that too much. That's not exactly showing allegiance to the United States of America. What about those who go and fight on the side of the Taliban? What do we call them? Traitors. Do you not think the Lord takes it pretty seriously, the allegiance that we profess to Him? You know, they keep trying to take that whole under God phrase out of the Pledge of Allegiance. And we say the pledge with the kids every morning. And one of the things I've stated a couple of times is I could not say that pledge without under God in there. I can't pledge allegiance to this country if I don't put this country underneath God. So if they take it out, that's just it. I can't pledge allegiance to the United States of America. But when we obeyed the gospel, we pledged our allegiance to God. We put Him first and foremost in our life. And when we allow things to hinder us repeatedly, can we truly be saying that we're holding fast the profession of our faith to God? That we're holding fast the allegiance that we pledged to God when we obeyed His gospel? We can read in Acts chapter 8 there, beginning in verse 36, where the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling along and Philip came and taught him from the very passage that he was studying. We read there, beginning in verse 36, as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." This is a confession that we make when we obey the gospel. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But we retract that confession when we allow other things to hinder us from the worship that we are to offer to God. We retract that confession when we allow petty things to stand between us and our service to God. We retract our confession of faith in Jesus Christ when we allow things in this world to keep us from attending as we should. We need to hold fast that confession that we made. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, there in verse 9, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Once again, we confess that belief when we obey the gospel. But you see, we've got to continue to live in such a way that shows our belief in God, our belief in Jesus Christ. And are you truly showing your faith in Christ when you refuse to be present for the worship services of the local congregation? When once again Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in their midst." When you choose not to be present with Christ, folks, these are very serious things that we need to think about. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, there in verse 14, he says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Are you truly holding fast your confession in Jesus Christ when you forsake the assemblies? When you choose not to be present. Now, once again, you know, when we look at the subject of attendance, we always stop, and it's good that we do, and go, there is such a thing as, you know, God understands that there are times when we can't make it. If you've got swine flu, stay home. I don't think anybody here will mind that at all. If you've got a really good cold that's just got you knocked out, I'm talking about one of those where you can't get your head up off the bed, you're passing around germs, stay home. But if you just got headache, if your back's just aching a little bit, you really going to say that's going to keep you from serving God? Folks, we've got members in this audience, sitting here in this audience, that are dealing with ailments that we can't even begin to understand. Disabilities, discomforts on a daily basis. And yet they are here almost every single Sunday and Wednesday night. I'm going to tell you, that's an encouragement to me to know that there are those that are facing these horrible difficulties to be present. And yet there are those that just the slightest sniffle the slightest discomfort, the slightest excuse, they'll miss. Now let's pause for a moment and just think. You're going to be judged. You're going to be judged for the things that you allow to take precedence over your service to God. I'm afraid that many are not going to receive the judgment that they think they're going to get. Are we truly holding fast our confession? So look further in the book of Hebrews. Go back to chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, it says, "Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if..." Now pay close attention. "If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." Now once again, you think about your attendance and you ask yourself, does my attendance record over the past year signify one who is holding fast the confession of hope and faith in Jesus Christ? We don't have attendance records quite like the schools do. My senior year, I was extremely thankful the day that I received a call that my parents had locked their keys in the car and needed me to come and open the door, because I got to check myself out of school, and that kept me from having perfect attendance. And I thought that was just the greatest thing in the world. I did not want to be one of those who walked across and received that perfect attendance award. I know people are looking at me as strange, but when you think of the group that usually is among those who are getting that perfect attendance, I was already grouped enough in that, and anything that separated me was a good thing. But what if you were handed an attendance sheet that showed how many times you were present and how many times you were absent over the past year? It's not posted in the back for all to see, but it's just handed to you so that you can see your attendance or lack thereof. You know when you were here and when you weren't. Do you really think it's holding fast your confession as Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Do you really think that God is going to be pleased with you? As we see further in Hebrews chapter 6, there in verse 11 it says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now you just think for just a moment. And I want you to think, some of you are thinking, well, I attend all the services. Well, I think this passage of Scripture carries it a little bit further. Are you on time for all the services? When we habitually come in late, does it not show a lack of respect for God? Equal to those who choose not to even be present? The author of Hebrews says, you don't be sluggish, you show the same diligence as those who have gone on before. Well, David is one of those of faith that's gone on before. And what did he say? "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" He was one who looked forward to the opportunity, who rushed to the door to be present. Don't be sluggish. If your car started as often as you attend, as frequently, if you could depend on your car as much as your brothers and sisters in Christ can depend on you to be present at the Lord's services, would you consider it a faithful car? I'm going to tell you, I've had cars like that. I had a 1979 Chevette that I parked on a hill. It was a stick shift. I parked it on a hill because you never knew if that starter was going to work or not. And that way all I had to do was give it a good shove, pop the clutch, and I was good to go. I would never call that car a faithful car. I was stranded numerous times in that car. Not of my own fault. It wasn't because I ran out of gas. Can you be considered a faithful Christian, a faithful member of the local church? There are wonderful blessings that are received by attending faithfully the Lord's services. And I hope and pray that you'll look at these things and you'll see there's great reason for you to be here. But some of you may still be sitting out there going, well, I don't get anything out of it. Well, primarily that's your own fault. Because you get out what you bring. You don't get anything out of Bible study? Start looking at the Bible lessons. Are you truly preparing or are you just answering the questions? Are you truly studying that lesson so that you can bring something to the Bible class? You might find that Bible classes are a little more interesting when you've got something that you're bringing to it. I don't get anything out of the singing. Well, are you singing? Are you taking part in the worship services? You see, we can be present and not really be here, can't we? And how many of you who have sat through this lesson going, yeah, preach it to them, the ones who never attend, maybe needed to be listening and going, well, yeah, I'm physically here, but I'm not giving any more service than they are. Folks, we need to, as the Scriptures say, examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. We're to test ourselves. And maybe it's time we start looking individually at ourselves. Stop paying so much attention to everyone else and ask ourselves, are we serving the Lord as we should? If you've not been faithful in your attendance in the work of the local church, then God is not pleased with you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you're not serving Him with fervor and zeal, He's not happy. He told the church in Laodicea, said, because you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Look at your attendance or your attitude while you're attending. Is it just lukewarm? Half-hearted? Repent. Return to faithful service to God. Today is your opportunity. This evening, Lord willing, we'll look at some more reasons why the faithful child of God, the faithful Christian, works hard to be present to as many times as he can. And I believe he even looks for more opportunities. But if you're here and you need to obey the gospel, then today is your opportunity. If you're here and you need to repent because you've not been faithful in your service to God, then do so now as we stand and as we sing.